Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure today to welcome Tara Holwagner of LCE with us. Welcome, Tara.
Hi. Thank you, James. Good to be here.
So, Tara, you're a learning subject matter expert for the Life Cycle Institute. You know, you do a lot in terms of the learning, leadership, and change management practices involved at Life Cycle Engineering.
Exactly.
You've been involved with Life Cycle Engineering for over 10 years, delivering the learning and business improvements. You're also, from my understanding, a CMRP, a CPLP, and a PMP, correct?
Lots of, letters after my name.
Perfect. So how long have you been involved in the maintenance and reliability aspect of things?
Well, really ever since I joined Lifecycle 10 years ago, so it's been a pretty good run. I got my CPLP, which is a Certified Professional in Learning and Performance. It's the only certification of its kind in the learning and development arena, so I got that about 5 years ago. Most of my time with Lifecycle, I've been managing projects, but I achieved my PMP a couple of years ago in 2014, and then just last year, I achieved my CMRP, which I'm very proud of. Lifecycle is given me some opportunities to be very specialized. There are actually, one of my colleagues did a search, and I'm the only CPLP and CMRP certified person that's on LinkedIn currently. So if there are any other CPLPs and CMRPs out there in the world, you better get a profile on LinkedIn, because right now, I win.
Absolutely. That's a great accomplishment. Even the CMRP, it's not an easy certification.
No, it's definitely not. But, as I said, I've been working in the field for 10 years, focusing on learning and development within maintenance and reliability. So that was the purpose of the Institute. Bill Wilder, who's our director, started the Institute about 12 years ago, and I joined pretty soon after.
Oh, excellent. And, Lifecycle Engineering, they've been around since 1976.
You guys this is our 40th anniversary, yeah.
You guys provide a ton of different services, whether it's consulting, engineering, training, education. You guys do quite a bit, and to a wide range of customers. So that's great to have you on.
Thank you.
Now, what I wanted to talk to you about is, we try to implement a lot of maintenance programs or change programs or even projects, and a lot of them aren't successful. And I think, in my personal experience, this all comes back to addressing the stakeholders and their needs and understanding how to manage them. What do you think?
I would absolutely agree. So a lot of people are, I guess we have to go back to the issue of what is a stakeholder. And really, a stakeholder is anybody that can impact or be impacted by your project. So when you think about an improvement project at your site or within your enterprise, that casts a pretty wide net. I found an interesting study. This was actually conducted in 2015. And like you said, they found that project success rates have not been very good, especially even in the field of project management. The success rates have remained flat for about 5 years. And when you think about the improvements that have been made in maintenance and reliability and in project management, I mean, there are new tools, there's collaboration software, there's document management like SharePoint, smartphones, maturing improvement philosophies and project management techniques. So we've gotten so much about the technical side of a project and of an improvement implementation. When I say technical, I mean, defining the steps to the improvement, assigning responsibilities, work breakdown structures. We've got all these great technological support out there, but something's missing because that dial of project success hasn't moved. And lots of studies have been done. I won't go into all the research. You can Google it. But the top reasons for project success have been found as sponsor engagement, and your sponsor is your primary stakeholder, someone who can influence or be impacted by your project, and user involvement. Those are all of the other stakeholders in your project. And you know, those are the top regions for reasons for success, but, you know, conversely, the top reasons for project failure is because of a lack of communication and failure to engage your stakeholders. So those don't have anything to do with the technical parts of a project. You know, they're not the seven steps for autonomous maintenance. They're not a problem-solving process. But it's the people side.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say it's the people side.
Yeah. So it's the stakeholder management, if you will, pieces of the project that are going to make an initiative successful. Because really our stakeholders are the ones who are going to be doing whatever change or improvement initiative the organization wants, or the things that are being done are going to have an impact on what they do day to day or week to week.
Absolutely. So I'm guessing the first step is to identify your potential stakeholders. But once you have them identified, how do you actually understand what you need to do with them?
Right. So there are different approaches out there. But the end result, I guess, is the same. Once you identify who they are, you should try to analyze their expectations for the project and their impact to the project. And you largely do that through brainstorming activities. And when you brainstorm, you don't want to do this, you don't want to do A, the identification of your stakeholders, or B, the analysis of them in a vacuum. You want to look at past projects, consider your sponsors for the current improvement project, and also some maybe super users or just some people that are some obvious stakeholders that come to you, and let them help you with identifying other stakeholders that you may not have included or may not have think of right off the bat. And they might also have some intimate knowledge of the organization or the environment that is going to help you analyze what all the various stakeholders are expecting from the project and how they could possibly impact your project. Because in reality, stakeholder management is managing the people risk to your project. So if you think about risk management, which is a huge discipline that's been around forever, and people have gotten really good about it, but the discipline about managing the people risks and what kind of risks can be introduced to your project that aren't on a typical risk matrix, if you will, is a bit of a newer thing. But it's a parallel process. So when you do your risk, and it's a part of risk management because your stakeholder management efforts are going to feed into your risk management efforts. So let me back up. Identify your stakeholders, then analyze their expectations and their impacts to the project, i.e. potential risks. So then as a further extension to the stakeholder management process, you'll develop some strategies all around stakeholder engagement. So we say stakeholder management, but it's not actually... You're not managing the people. You are probably not their direct manager. You may not have any impact on how they day-to-day execute their activities. So you're not directly managing them. You're managing their engagement. So you develop strategies to understand where you want them to be in terms of desired engagement state, and how are you going to get them there?
Yeah, so... So with that management piece, it's not just communication. Mm-hmm. We don't just send out an email or pick up a phone every once in a while. It's much more calculated and thought out than that.
Absolutely. It's not just communication, but, I mean, let's not downgrade communication. It's a large part of stakeholder management. It really does depend on the current risks that stakeholder or stakeholder group. Stakeholder is not necessarily just one person. It could be a group of people as well. And then, you know, what potential risks could they pose to the project? And what's their priority? Because, you know, a lot of people, especially if you're in the midst of a huge transformation, oh, great, one more thing I have to do, you know, the stakeholder management thing. So to be able to, you know, eat the cake one bite at a time, you want to be able to have some level of priority. So once you understand their expectation and risks, then you are going to use a process to give their risks a priority number, just as you would in traditional risk management. Or let's say I have worked with some people who have chosen to do a people FMEA, you know, a failure modes effects analysis, and they use similar criteria in order to give a risk priority number to their stakeholders, which I thought was an innovative and very practical approach to stakeholder management that fits quite nicely in with the rest of the technical implementation. But each case and each risk might require a different tactic more than communication to focus or engage. So communication is one tool, but it's typically used for awareness of the change, you know, to help people understand why the change is happening, what is it, you know, going to mean to them, what's in it for me, and to help them buy into the change. But communication isn't going to give people the knowledge and the skills that they need to succeed in their new environment. So training and coaching, you know, is another tool in stakeholder management. Also, involving stakeholders in actually designing and developing project requirements, you know, or areas where it makes sense to involve them. So active involvement is another tool. Identifying opportunities to recognize when people have made progress is another huge tool in the stakeholder management toolbox. And then last but definitely not least, setting a good example. So as a project leader, as a sponsor, as a mid-level manager whose people are having to really make some new efforts as part of your improvement project, being active and visibly supporting the initiative and being that example is a huge tool to get people engaged.
Absolutely. And one of the other things that I've seen done it from time to time is take them on a field trip. Go to a different industry next door that's doing that.
Let them see the future, right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I found that to be very, very effective when used properly. So
when you absolutely. But it does, it gives them that vision, which, you know, is one of the jobs, I guess, of leadership is to provide that vision. And you can try to do it through communication, but James, you're absolutely right. Nothing can replace seeing
absolutely
what life can be like. Yeah.
Excellent. Those are some great tools that we can all take away to use. Are there any other major steps in managing stakeholders that we need to be aware of? Or are those the key pieces?
Okay, so we said identify who your stakeholders are, analyze their expectations for the project and their impact to the project so you can prioritize, developing strategies to engage. And the last piece is the tool that all of these components are kept in is called a stakeholder register. Project managers, I have not seen, and I would love to know if other people have them out there, I have not seen one of the project management tools that just has a really good stakeholder management template baked in. My colleagues and I in the project management community we built a class and built a tool that we use as part of that class because we just weren't happy with whatever we were finding out there. So it really is a newer... And new, I'm talking about, you know, within the past 10 years, you know, to focus on how important it is, you know, to manage the people risks. And it may seem overwhelming at first, but the good thing about it is, and I guess this would be something that, you know, outside the steps of stakeholder management, I would give people hope in, is that you don't have to do, quote unquote, do stakeholder management completely right. You know, like there are some basic steps, and let's say that you started doing stakeholder management and you decide that you can only tackle, you know, given bandwidth, you can only tackle your primary stakeholders. Well, there actually has been some studies, and I hate to go to research all the time, but hey, that's, you know, let's learn from other people, right?
Exactly.
There's a firm that focuses on studying the effects of stakeholder management. They call it change management, but it's different from the management of change process, you know, that we're used to in engineering and maintenance and reliability. And they're called ProSci, and they do studies every year based on how, you know, stakeholder management affects large transformational improvement projects or change projects. And one finding that has repeated over, you know, the years, over, you know, 8 to 10 years, is that projects that have, I guess they have a spectrum: poor stakeholder management, fair, good, and excellent. Excellent stakeholder management means that you, like, use a standard approach, executed the life cycle of the project, you've invested resources where you need. But what they found was that with poor stakeholder management, you know, the odds are unlikely that the project is going to meet all of your objectives. But if you move the dial from doing, like, no stakeholder management, maybe you're doing a little in poor stakeholder management, but even if you do just a fair job of stakeholder management, like, you try and you apply some stakeholder management techniques, the impact was huge. You were 30% more likely to achieve your objectives just by doing something.
Oh,
you know, so if you, isn't that hopeful? Like, just if you're trying, you're going to get, I mean, 30%.
That's a huge, huge increase.
Exactly. So, like, if you do absolutely nothing, then, you know, you're six times more likely that your project's not going to meet your objectives, you know, scope, time, budget, and just what you wanted to achieve. But if you just try some, then you got a 30% chance. You know, you've just added back into your project success possibilities.
Yeah, because one of the questions I had was, what happens if you don't do it properly? Well, you just answered that. You know, it makes a huge difference if you're doing something. You don't have to be the best at it, but just doing something makes a huge, huge difference.
Right. Try one or two techniques and see how they work, because they're going to have a positive impact. And even if you just do something, it's going to have, you know, quite an impact. So,
this podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com. Now, we've done that stakeholder analysis. We're doing something to manage them, manage the engagement. Do we not look at this again throughout the project, or do we have to revisit this from time to time throughout the project life?
Definitely, the latter. So ideally, you'll begin stakeholder management at project initiation. When you're doing the project charter, it's a great time to go ahead and identify your stakeholders, at least do the identification part. But we do recommend that you do a stakeholder analysis at the onset of the project and revisit throughout at major milestones throughout the project. Just do a quick check. And another good time to get your stakeholder register is if there's a project team change, you know, like maybe a member might have left or had to change projects, or you have a major change at the organization and the project is experiencing a major change. You know, maybe you have a leadership change, which would be a huge change to the project. So you're going to have to go through the stakeholder analysis and engagement management. You also want to check and make sure that when you analyze their current state of engagement and then you determine what the desired state of engagement is, you know, whether they're resistant or neutral or supportive, and review if the efforts that you're putting forth, if those engagement strategies are actually working. Have you moved that person from the current state closer to the desired state? Because if you haven't, I mean, you definitely don't want to...
You don't want them going backwards.
Yes. Well, you definitely don't want them going backwards. But you all spend effort if the efforts aren't working. So it's a good idea to revisit periodically.
Okay.
But some definite, like, you know, hay marker times when you should actually put it into the plan to look at the register and to think about your stakeholders would be at milestones or during changes.
Okay, perfect. Now, do you have any tips or words of wisdom for people who are new to the stakeholder analysis and management?
Put it into your project plan. Creating a stakeholder register should be one of your tasks in your project management activities, just as you would risk management. So if you've got a place in your project plan where you're looking at the risks of your project, you need to put a line item in there for looking at the people risks too.
Perfect.
Yep.
Now, what is the one thing you see commonly done incorrectly when trying to manage stakeholders?
So one big thing is that there's an assumption that because a change is a quote-unquote small change or small project, that stakeholder management isn't needed. And I would caution people about that, because I use this analogy a lot. Getting a new cell phone, it's not huge. Gosh, I felt like it was the last time I got a smartphone, you know, like, wow, you know, it just a change. Or even this last software update on my iPhone, I was like, what did you do to my messages? You know, like, I don't like this. It's a small change, right? But there was still, you know, I went through the whole grief cycle of like, I didn't want to do the software download. I refused to recognize the messages on my phone. I wasn't going to do it. And then it was forced on me. And my phone just wouldn't work anymore, so I finally had to do it. And then I went through the frustration of trying to figure it out, and I mourned the death of my previous software version. So, you know, you go through all these changes even with a small change. So I would caution people, it just means that you don't have to spend as much time, you know, on your stakeholder management activities. But even if it's a smaller project or a smaller effort, it's still taking a little bit of energy to think about the stakeholders, people who are going to impact or be impacted by this quote-unquote small change of yours. You might be surprised at, you know, when you cast the net, at how many fish you actually do catch.
Yep, absolutely. Perfect. Now, might be a little bit redundant, but what is the one thing you want our listeners to take away regarding our discussion today?
Just try it. You know, apply one stakeholder management technique. Even if it's having a brainstorming meeting to identify who your stakeholders are, so you can give the people risks to your project the respect that they deserve. I would also say, look out there for opportunities there to just learn more about some engagement techniques that you can use, and get creative with that outside of communication, although don't downplay the role that communication can play. It's huge during a change or an improvement project. And there are some educational opportunities out there just to learn more about how to get better about stakeholder management. So feel free. But yeah, just try it.
Perfect. Now, before we wrap up, you know, where can people find out more about you? What adventure are you going to in the near future? What activities are you involved in at the moment?
So I'm on LinkedIn, and I encourage people to connect. The Lifecycle Institute does have a LinkedIn page that has a lot of our content and events. I also co-host a podcast. That's one of the reasons, James, that you and I met at the SMRP conference, which is Asset Reliability at Work. So those are my main gigs right now, and a lot of our events are also published through our e-newsletters. So we're out there. I do not have a personal website or anything like that. I'd say the best way to get in touch would be through LinkedIn.
All right, excellent. And am I correct in remembering that Lifecycle Engineering is hosting a conference sometime in the new year as well?
They are. We are having a Reliability Excellence Conference. Reliability Excellence is our model for reliability transformation. 29 Elements been around for about 40 years, so it works. But we are going to be having that in February, and there is a link to registration on our website. It's going to be really exciting. I'm going to be one of the MCs for the event, and Bill Wilder is going to be another. But we've got a really good list of working sessions, and you'll get to be in beautiful Charleston. What could be nicer than getting away from the cold in February and coming to Charleston?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So I'll have to see if I can make my way down there for that.
No. You do, and I will say that there are a limited number of participation seats available, but, I mean, James, come on. You have to join us. So
I'll see what I can do. I'll do my best. Now, before we conclude this, is there any resources that you can share with our listeners around stakeholder analysis, stakeholder management, or just project management in general?
Yes. So I do want to let everybody know that we have a free 1-hour improvement project risk assessment, which is where you actually get on the phone with one of our experts and talk through what you're going through and get some expert advice. So I'm going to provide a link to that. And James, I guess you'll post that with the podcast. But yeah, there's nothing to lose about that except for just learning more about, you know, the risks that might be associated with your project and how you can go about getting some support for that. Also, we have a stakeholder management 2-day course, and that can be adjusted, you know, per the needs of the client. But this is an on-site course, and I am the primary facilitator for that. And so if you want to bring a stakeholder management competency to your organization, receive that stakeholder register tool that I was telling you about, and actually have a working session on a current project, then just email us at education@LCE, and we can talk with you more about that. Plus, there's the podcast, which is Asset Reliability at Work. And then we also have a resource portal, poweredbyrx.com, powered by ReliabilityExcellence.com. It's a really cool portal that has resources, articles, videos, podcasts, webinars, what have you, linked to all 39 elements. So if you're needing to do some research on or do some benchmarking on maintenance planning and scheduling, then you can go to poweredbyrx.com and click on the element, and it will give you a litany of resources that you can browse through and see what you need.
Yeah, it's an excellent resource. I've taken a look at it. It's fantastically put together.
It's kind of fun, too, isn't it, to bop around the different elements? And
it is. And the best part is you guys provided that for everyone to use. It's not behind a paid firewall or anything like that. It's out there to use, which is great. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Tara, for taking the time to talk to us today about stakeholder analysis and management. I know I walked away with a couple learnings from our conversation. I'm going to assume that everyone else did as well. So thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.